Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 26, 2026, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 47, the fourth full paragraph beginning with, besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, ending with, no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Joanne L., who will be reading the 12 steps. Mary Frances W. will be reading the 12 traditions. Dion R. will be reading the text. Janice P.M. is reading page 164. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, June 25th, 2026, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,581 or 23581, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,583 or 23583. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey there, Joanne.
Thank you very much, Stephanie, and good morning to everyone. I just want to say thank you. It was nice being with you all for the month of June, and I wish you all a very happy fourth. Joanne L. from Rhode Island recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L. And we will now ask Mary Frances W. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hey, Mary Frances.
Hey, Stephanie. Good morning, everybody. And these are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary Frances W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for leaders is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to re-mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 47, the fourth full paragraph beginning with, besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, ending with, no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Dion R. to please begin reading. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Dion R. Besides a seemingly inability to accept much on faith, we often found ourselves handicapped by obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasonable prejudice. Many of us have been so touchy that even casual reference to spiritual things made us bristle with antagonism. This sort of thinking had to be abandoned. Though some of us resisted, we found no great difficulty in casting aside such feelings. Faced with alcoholic destruction, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It soundly beat us into a state of reasonableness. Sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. And I was reading over this, and I see that I have it outlined in my paragraph, in my big book, as a set-aside prayer. This this definitely calls for the set-aside. So I had to set aside all my prejudice. And because when it says handicap or obstinacy, and I looked up in that word in my little dictionary, and it has it in the big book, one of my big book dictionaries, it says stubbornness. I had to look at it. Inflexible self-will and resistance. And that was me. When it came to spiritual matters, when I came into the program, because I was unreasonable, you know, and I was prejudiced by spiritual matters. I was touchy. Because of my past, I was touchy when it came to spiritual matters. I didn't want to hear that. I wouldn't hear anything but that because of my past. And it says casual reference to spiritual things made me bristle with antagonism, not because of spiritual matters was so bad. It was because of my past of abuse with spiritual, with people that use spiritual or church or whatever to abuse me. So, yes, I bristle. Ugh, church, what, whatever. But when it came to assist face the alcoholic destruction, became open-minded. So I thought about that. It was like, well, with food, do I want to go back to that food? Compulsive overeating, I do want to keep an open mind to what these people are seeing, and what I'm seeing and what these people are saying. I'm watching them lose weight. I'm seeing pictures they're showing me where they were of one size, and then I'm seeing them of normal size. I'm remembering being in places, breaking chairs, right? And being in there. Now, do you want to go back to that old way of doing things, Deanna, or do you want to keep an open mind? So, yes, it says finally, in this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. Well, food was a great persuader. I could go back to my old way of thinking or keep an open mind. It says, we hope no one was as prejudiced as this part right here. We hope no one will be as prejudiced for as long as some of us were. I came into Overeaters Anonymous, which I'm so grateful for, in 1990, after a person in my beverage program suggested I, you know, try it. And when I did, it took 23 or 24 years before I was in Overeaters Anonymous, but I was so prejudiced. It took me a long time to be 14 years. And last Tuesday, I celebrated 14 years of back-to-back abstinence, but it took 23 years. So I pray it doesn't take most people as long as it did. It says it takes no one is keeping their prejudice and their closed mind to get to what it did most of us, some of us. Some don't have a closed mind, but it did for me.
Beyond,
and I pray most
time.
People don't. But thank you, Stephanie, and thank you all for allowing me to have 14 years of recovery and be able to share my experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Deanna. We are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday on any Vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. If you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Joanne L.
Joanne L. Gotcha. And Joanne, where are you calling from again?
Rhode Island.
Gotcha.
LVV, Vancouver, Canada.
Got you.
Deb V, Illinois.
Was that Deb B or Deb Z?
Z.
Z is in zebra from Illinois. Gotcha.
Janice
M.
I think I heard Janice PM from Massachusetts.
Thank you.
And I heard a male voice.
Ian F, Kentucky.
Hey, Ian, got you.
Wendy M.
Michelle.
I've got Wendy M from Colorado, I believe. Okay.
What page, please?
We're on the bottom of page 47, the last paragraph, beginning with besides a seeming inability, ending with no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. And can we get some more names, please? Anybody else?
Michelle WC.
Got you, Michelle. And did we have anyone else who wanted to get in on this first round?
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen T. And where are you calling from, Mary Ellen?
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay. So this is who I've got. I've got Joanne L., Avi V., Deb Z., Janice PM, Ian F., Wendy M., Michelle WC., and Mary Ellen T. We're going to start with Joanne L., followed by Avi V. All righty, Joanne.
Oh, good. Thank you, Beverly. Thank you, Stephanie. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and I'm recovered. And I was just thinking about this paragraph here the other day. First of all, if we were doing the steps, this is like step two, because we're coming to believe that we have to believe that there is a power greater than ourselves, okay? And when I grew up, I've been a religion all my life, the same religion, and I always had to go to church with my parents. And I knew that there was a God. But the thing is, that was my childhood God. For the longest time, it was just my childhood God. I didn't know that there was an adult God, and I didn't know that God really could help me. So throughout the years, and then when I came into program back in 1994, I had a spiritual experience that happened to me. And there was no other definition other than that it was God who did this for me. It was amazing. And so, you know, I don't ever think of me as being prejudiced, but I'm sure there were times that I said, nah, he doesn't care about my food. He doesn't care about what I'm eating. And I'm single and I live alone. And so I thought that I could just have anything that I wanted when I wanted it. And I said, he can't see me. You know, that was the thinking. That's the insanity. And so, you know, today I don't live like this. And by the word prejudice, that word means opinion without facts. And the word prejudice is six times from page 45 to here. And so I just want to say that today I have a God that I know that I can count on. You know, sometimes I get angry about, you know, having to stick to certain foods and things like that in my program. I have a big party to go to tomorrow, and it's going to be lots and lots of food. But you know something? I know what I'm going to do. I have a plan. And most of all, I'm bringing God with me. It's me who moved away from God. God doesn't move. He moved. And so I know that I will take him with me tomorrow. I'm just so grateful for this program. Please keep on coming, and especially if you're new. Thank you. And I pass, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Joanna from Rhode Island. Next, we've got Avi V, followed by Deb Z. Good morning, Avi.
Good morning, everyone. This is Avi from Vancouver, Canada, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. There's this one line, this whole paragraph, where it says, in this respect, alcohol was a great persuader. It finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. My disease is taking me to my knees. It is absolutely taking me out and taking me to my knees. There's nothing that has happened in my time in recovery that has brought me to a place of knowing, deeply, deeply knowing with every fiber of my being that I am completely powerless, that this disease is so much bigger than I am, I will ever be. I've always believed that I have such a strong relationship with my higher power that I call God, you know, but these relapses have shown me that there's something, there is a disconnect there. As much as I love God, I serve God, I do, I spend my time, I can't wait to get up in the morning to spend time with God. There's something there. I don't know what it is. And I'm, you know, as I think Herb says, calls us these spiritual seekers. I'm a seeker. I believe I'm a seeker. I believe, I want to believe I'm open-minded and I'm curious and I want to understand all of this. But this seeming inability to accept much on faith, there's something there. And these relapses, maybe they're showing me something, because I feel, I don't want to say I feel hopeless, but there's parts of me that feels pretty hopeless, you know, and I know that there's hope. I know this program works. And faced with alcoholic destruction, we became as open-minded on spiritual matters. And I'm praying for that, because when I'm in the grips of the disease, nothing lets go of that until the disease is done with me. You know, and God's there waiting. And God wraps me, and I know that I'm not alone. And it says this sometimes tedious process. I'm like, okay, God, I'm done. I'm done. Show me the way. Anyhow, grateful to be here. Stephanie, thank you so much for taking this meeting and for everyone who shared and yet to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much. Avi V from Canada. Next, we've got Deb Z followed by Janice PM. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Team Friday, and everybody that gives service for this wonderful meeting. Obstinacy, sensitiveness, and unreasoning prejudice. So I had that, not just in spiritual matters, but in pretty much everything in my life. I had a religion from the time I was born, but I didn't really understand it. I didn't get it. And I definitely did not have a spiritual connection with God. And because it just didn't seem real to me. It's not that I wouldn't call myself an atheist. I just hadn't seen any proof of it in my life. I wasn't able to, probably because I was eating myself into oblivion most of the time and didn't really want to look around myself and go, oh, I have a lot of blessings here. All I saw was the bad stuff and from my childhood. And so then I got into this like obstinacy and sensitiveness, and I just did not want to hear anybody speak to me about my weight or what I could do to control it, and or what I could do to stop eating. And when I did pray, I would pray to lose weight, but I don't recall ever praying or asking God to help me stop eating. I was in such a numb state or oblivion for most of my young childhood, or most of my childhood and my young adulthood, that it never even dawned on me that there was a connection. I knew that I got something from eating, and I knew that I got some consequences from eating, but it never dawned on me by myself to ask God to help me stop eating. It was just a prayer of, help me lose weight, help me lose weight. So I was so obstinate that it took my therapist 18 months, sometimes three times a week. She would say, you might want to think about OA, and then you need to go to OA, and then please go to OA. And it took forever for her to get me through the doors. And as soon as I did, I realized that I was home, and that the spiritual solution was the only thing that was going to help me. But it took... It's time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
All right. That went fast. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Debbie from Illinois. Next, we've got Janice PM, followed by Ian F. Good morning, Janice.
And good morning to you, Stephanie. Thank you all. My name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. Okay, step two. Step two is, you know, specifically designed for our mental obsession. It's we agnostics, so I'm going to try to just talk about we. I'm sure there's one other person here that is just like me, so, but it's really we agnostics, so it's more than one. Now, we in ourselves, including myself, of course, cannot remove an obsession. I tried in step one. You know, it says in step one that I'm powerless. Well, I'm powerless, but it said I also, you know, cannot manage my life by myself. This is what I put in, by ourselves. We can't manage our lives when we're in this addiction of food, you know. And certainly, I would believe that it says he's going, he, she, it, whether you're atheist, agnostic, religious, is going to restore me to sanity. So the sanity, I was insane. So, of course, I had to be convinced, right? In step two, that I, by myself, we by ourselves, cannot remove this obsession.
Are they always on time? Are they generally?
I'm sorry.
Late?
Can you please hit star one to unmute if you're not sharing right now? Could we have everyone hit star one or not to unmute? Star one to mute if you're not Janice PM. So sorry about that, Janice. Please go ahead.
No problem. I do that too sometimes. Okay. I had to come to a conclusion after step one, because we're now in step two, going into step two, that first of all, before I could even start believing or not believing or going into religion, that we have no control. We had no, at least I did, no, and I'm sure we did, no choices. I couldn't make a choice. We had no power. We didn't need God. Well, because why didn't I need God? Because I was doing everything myself. And boy, did it take me trying and trying for years. And I had it. I'm one of those that have tried the way of faith in the way of no faith. But you see, faith is going to come later because step two is a process. It's not telling us here in step two that we have to believe now, or if you believe, you're all set. But that was my thinking. Oh, I don't have any problem with step two because I believe. I know all the God, but I really didn't know God because I was mad at God because I didn't get what I wanted. But with my experience, I'll just give you this. I came into OA after a couple of fellowships with some other addictions. And I found... Okay, two things that's going to help us with this. One is a continued plan of eating so we can stay abstinent to start the 12 steps of recovery that's going to show us a power. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Janice PM from Massachusetts. Next, we've got Ian F, followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Ian F. I'm a compulsive overeater. Really grateful to be here today and hear you guys. I'm gonna keep talking about a girl because that's where I'm at, and it's still relevant to this to this paragraph because I was, you know, as we're reading this, it talks about alcoholic destruction and, you know, the unfortunate fact of working step one into step two is that, I mean, we can show folks how to do an inventory, and we can explain the spiritual principles, and you can understand on an intellectual level how this thing works. But it's not until you reach that point where you've got the option of alcoholic destruction, so death or God, where you go, God sounds like a good idea. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty much where it's at, right? I mean, people come in and they're desperate, and when we say desperate, we mean, I've tried everything else. I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. And that was true of the food, and it's true of life. I mean, that's the second part of step one. Life is unmanageable. For me right now, I've been abstinent for several years at this point. I still have this with life shit all the time. And the reason I brought up girls, like, there's a girl that I'm seeing, and I'm really excited about it, and I want to think about her all of the time. And it gets to a point where it's like, she's all that I think about, and I want to pick up the phone and text her, and I want to, you know. And I know intellectually that it is not healthy or constructive to be looking at the phone all the time, thinking about her all the time, obsessing over it. Is this going to go well? And it doesn't matter that I know that intellectually. You know, and the only thing that has brought me to a place of having any peace with it is that I've talked with my friends about it and gotten tired of hearing myself talk about it, and I've gotten tired of my own BS, basically. And I keep running into the same wall of like, oh my God, I feel miserable because I'm obsessing over something that's out of my control. And that's the same way with the food. It's the same way with the life. You know, I get to a point where the actual experience of butting my head up against whatever wall it is so profound and so overpowering that I go, oh, right, I need God. And if you're not in that place, you know, I would love to say the right word that just snaps you into the place of desperation, but the truth of the matter is, for a lot of us, it's the experience of butting your head up against the wall. And the value of these meetings is coming in and hearing that. It's coming in and hearing that, and that there's a way forward if you're in that spot, you know, that you're not necessarily doing anything wrong because you haven't found the solution yet. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to reach the point of desperation. I hope any of that's helpful. Love you guys. Help us.
Thank you so much, Ian F. from Kentucky. Before we go to our next person, let me remind you all where we're at. We are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, We Agnostics, page 47, the fourth full paragraph, beginning with, besides a seeming inability to accept much on faith, ending with, no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and there is some background. I hear someone, I don't know, making some noise. So if we could please hit star one to mute, please, unless you are Wendy M. So we're going to go to Wendy M., followed by Michelle W.C. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service always. I'm Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Love these lines. I go over them with my sponsees all the time. But I just want to say the word sensitiveness, right? It says on 125, we're a sensitive lot. We're a sensitive people. You guys, I get triggered by so many things. I don't want to tell you that because I want you to think I'm all recovered and whatnot. The food's down, but I'm sensitive. Yesterday I was talking to this guy and he didn't say hello right. Like, literally, I didn't get the correct hello with the correct intonation, right? So that's the degree to which I'm sensitive, right? And what do I get to do? I have a design for living. It's called the 10 step. Anyways, and I love the last share. I related to it completely. And, you know, I'm a food addict, but I'm also a love addict. And so I can pick up men and snort them the way I can binge on fill in the blank sugar and flour, right? So just because I've got the food down doesn't mean I'm not done. You know, I can be completely agnostic, atheist agnostic in other areas. And I'm currently faced with destruction right now in the sense that my life is not working in certain areas. And you know, these are the lines. This is it, you know. And nobody is going to convince me to stop snorting men. What's going to happen is I'm going to be faced with my own destruction, which is really what's happening. I'm on my knees at this point, you know, and I want to switch to a moment, which is, I say to my sponsees, I can never convince you to do this work. I can never convince you that there is a higher power or, you know, in your understanding. I can't do that. I left the debating society. And so what this says is your life destruction, right? Your unmanageability, the food, your weight, your health, whatever, that is going to be the great persuader. And I just love that because then I'm off the hook as a sponsor and as a fellow. I never can tell you something. I never can convince you. And I can't convince myself unless my life is for shit. And that's what this is saying. Not just open on spiritual matters, but open to the whole thing because we have no choice. We're on our knees. I'm on my knees, right? And my love addiction, my food addiction is the great persuader, right? And I've been to hell and back on both of these counts, both addictions, you know, and it finally beat us into a state of reasonableness. And that's what happened with the food. You know, the weight was going up. My life was not good. I went to jail for something and it's not good, you guys. But that was the knock on the door. That's God's way of saying, hello, wake up, I'm here. And I'm only going to care because I'm on my knees, right? Because my life, I'm in a puddle. And I have no other choice. So, you know, is it going to be God or is it going to be Wendy, right? That's how this works. And it turns out that the God idea works. I see it in all of you. So, yeah, I'm willing to do, at the time, 15 different things a day. That my sponsor had me do. Thank you, God. I pass.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm from Colorado. Next, we've got Michelle W.C., followed by Mary Ellen T. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C. in California. And I just love this paragraph. It's so packed. And it's funny how when you read something, you're like, how do they describe me perfectly as obstinate, sensitive, and unreasonable? And my prejudice, I thought I was a very open-minded person, but when it came to certain areas of my life, especially how I saw God, you know, I saw God as someone who created the earth and people and animals. And why would God care about what I eat as long as I'm eating? But God does care about what I put in my body because somehow my circuitry got crossed and I just started putting anything in my mouth whenever I felt uncomfortable. It was just that natural thing. Oh, I arrived somewhere. I got to eat something. And now that I have, you know, a design for living and an action plan where I eat 3 meals a day and 1 snack, I can look at the clock and say, hey, well, gosh, I got someplace new and it was a little bit hectic to get here. And my stomach's telling me I'm hungry, but, you know, lunch is an hour and a half away and I'm going to be okay. And it didn't, you know, it took me being destructive, overweight, people kind of looking at me being like, well, we're kind of uncomfortable with the volume of food that you eat, but they didn't quite say it, but you could see it in their face, to really become reasonable and open-minded to things that my sponsors suggested. And, you know, at first, I got the, you know, following a plan of eating, but, like, gosh, I wasn't going to put down that food. Like, I can't put down that one food. And, you know, thank God my sponsor's like, well, just try it while we're working the steps, and then you can reevaluate. And, gosh, I did, and I'm so grateful because now it's been a couple years, and I haven't had that food, and I haven't really thought about it. And it wasn't until yesterday where I was in the store and I happened to notice it. I'd be like, oh, yeah, gosh, I haven't bought that in years. Thank God I listened. Thank God I was open-minded enough to listen to my sponsor and, you know, just put it down for a little bit. And thank God I did. And I just, you know, I'm glad here they also talk about the word abandon. And I had, you know, as I mentioned, I had a lot of ideas, and I still do, about how, whether it's how God works or how recovery should be. And I've had to abandon those and be willing to try what, you know, my different sponsors have suggested, whether it's different meetings or different, or spending 30 minutes with God. And thank God I do that every single morning. And I remember the first time I set my timer for 30 minutes, I thought that, you know, and then, you know, I prayed and then I looked at the clock and I had 29 minutes to go. And how long that half hour felt. But now it's like I sit down, I set the timer, I say a couple prayers and I start to follow my breath, and then the alarm goes off and I'm like, I thought that was 5 minutes, not 30. So it's amazing how when you open your mind, how you can really have a change of experience and a change of attitude. And I'm just really grateful for that. Michelle WC in California.
Thank you so much, Michelle WC, again from California. Next, we've got Mary Ellen T. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. Thanks, everybody, for doing service. My name is Mary Ellen T., and I live in Oregon. I'm grateful to be living in recovery. I really honed in on the words of, finding myself handicapped or bristling, or the sensitiveness to reference to spiritual matters. And I remember that feeling so vividly in me decades ago. And it's really, I'm just so grateful. And I feel like what an incredible journey to be living in 12 steps. And to become more and more open-minded to spiritual matters, and listening to people's story of the miracle of their recovery, and looking at my own journey and the many, many amazing miracles that have happened. And I love what somebody shared earlier in this meeting about being a seeker. And being excited to wake up and to connect with their higher power, I love that. And it's statements like that have really helped me to grow spiritually as well too, because I can use something like that as a spiritual barometer, just a reminder of, oh yeah, I want to do that too. I want to be excited to spend time with my higher power, and that's it's been. Your shares have really illuminated the path for me. And these past 7.5 years in recovery have just been such a beautiful, beautiful journey for me. I no longer feel that bristling inside of me. In fact, when I do, to me, it's an indicator that I am no longer living in those essential requirements that the Big Book talks about being open-minded and willing and honest. In fact, I need to check myself when I feel myself bristling, because it means that I've got judgment and criticism mulling around inside of my head, and that's not healthy for me. It doesn't feel right. And then lastly, faced with alcoholic destruction, I had to become open-minded, and it just kind of reminds me of the paragraph that I think is on like page 24 or 25 and talks about there's no middle of the road solution and backed into a corner. I have to use spiritual practices to be able to move towards recovery. And the more I spend time with my higher power, and listening to meetings and outreach, it just
Mary Ellen, that's time.
Sheds my layers of ego and helps me to become closer to my higher power. And that's it. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen T from Oregon. And I think we have time for, let's see, one, probably two more. If you'd like to share, let me know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
This is Darcy A. in Washington State.
Hi, you, Darcy. Thank you. Do we have anyone else?
Thank you. Teresa C. in New Jersey.
Was that Teresa C.?
Correct.
Okay, great. I've got Darcy and Teresa. Go for it, Darcy.
Hey, this is Darcy A., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Washington State. Thank you, Stephanie, for moderating, and thanks to everyone on the call, and welcome to anybody that's new. I'm really glad you're here. So many things in this paragraph. Oh, my gosh. What I really honed in on was the tedious process. And years ago, my sponsor had me write down what that means, that looked that up, and it was boring, dullness, and tiresome because of length. And that is my experience with becoming, you know, beaten into a state of reasonableness with this disease. When I first read this book, I bristled with antagonism, you know, because of the God talk, and I just was touchy about it, like it says, you know, and so, you know, I had quit one particular addiction and gotten, you know, clean from that. And then I smoked like crazy, and then I quit that. And then my bulimia just really took off. And then I stopped throwing up, and then I gained 100 pounds and got up to 240 pounds with this disease. And, you know, I became free of particular foods, certain alcoholic foods, but I wouldn't let go of sugar-free substitutes. And that's what whenever I would have something, that was my go-to. I would just relapse on sugar-free cough drops and I'm talking like tons of them, not just like a few. And then I had this mental obsession that I was going to have sugar-free syrups in my coffee. And I thought about that literally since 2022 till very recently. And every time I would get coffee, not every time, but often I would think, I wonder if I could have sugar-free syrups in my coffee. I mean, the mental obsession was just there. And after becoming, you know, starting to work the steps, like it's outlined in the big book again, for food, in a vision for you, going to those meetings. And I went on a trip and it was relieved. And I remember thinking after like 3/4 of the way through the trip that I hadn't thought about all the baguettes and the patisseries.
That's time.
And it was just, I got a freedom. And I'm so grateful to my higher power for the freedom that I've received in this program. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Darcy A. in Washington. And Teresa, we have like 1 minute. I overshot the mark. Would you like to take a minute? Teresa, would you like to take a 1 minute up? Are you there?
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted.
We've got about 1 minute, friend.
I hear you. Thank you so much. Teresa C. in New Jersey, recovered through the grace of my higher power. I'm just so grateful that, you know, this meeting is here. And today I woke up and thought, I really wasn't feeling like my best. And I thought, I really want to start doing, you know, more connection with my higher power in meditation. I do prayer okay, but meditation I'm a little off. And, you know, so many people today talked about their meditation practices and how that helps bring them closer to their higher power. So I appreciate that. And that's it. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Teresa C., and sorry about not having much time left. All righty, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Let's see here. Janice P.N., can you please read A Vision for You?
I'd be glad to. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in, if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Janice PM. Just waiting for the recording to stop.